O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Hear our voice, O Lord, according to your faithful love.
According to your judgment, give us life.
Holy God, as we meet together today, we ask that you will renew our love for you. Open our eyes, we pray, to see fresh things. Open our ears to hear with greater clarity. Open our minds to recognize new ideas. Make us willing to grow and change and to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
And a song of penitence taken from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your gracious Spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen. Well, as we move to our readings from the Bible, we begin with our psalm for today, which is part of Psalm 18, beginning at verse 1. And we join in the refrain together. The Lord my God shall make my darkness to be bright. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my crag, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I cried to the Lord in my anguish, and I was saved from my enemies. The Lord my God shall make my darkness to be bright. The cords of death entwined me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the pit fastened about me, and the snares of death entangled me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help. He heard my voice in his temple, and my cry came to his ears. The Lord my God shall make my darkness to be bright. He parted the heavens and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon the cherubim and flew. He came flying on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering round about him, dark waters and thick clouds his pavilion. The Lord my God shall make my darkness to be bright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, our canticle this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55, a song of the word of the Lord. And we join together in the refrain, return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. As the rain and the snow come down from above, and return not again but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread to eat, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me fruitless, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the task I gave it. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, if I was a betting man, and by the way, I'm not, I would be prepared to wager a small sum that there is more than one church warden amongst us this morning. Hands up if you are now or have ever been a church warden. I'm not sure how well this works on the phone, but anyway, never mind. A round of applause, please, ladies and gentlemen, for our church wardens. Well done. Okay, hands down. Being conscientious types, you will know by heart that one of the many duties of a church warden is to maintain order during divine worship. In the immortal words of McMorran and Elphinstone, authors of A Handbook for Church Wardens and Parochial Church Councillors, it is the duty of church wardens to maintain order in the church and churchyard, especially during divine service. They may remove persons who disturb the performance of the service or who show that they intend to do so. Thus, it has been held that a church warden could properly remove a man's hat if he refused to remove it during divine service after being requested to do so. Food for thought, especially for any of you contemplating the possibility of standing for election, either again or for the first time, as church warden at the forthcoming annual meeting of parishioners. Imagine the power properly to remove a man's hat. What an exhilarating prospect. But wait, hold hard. Suppose you had been on duty, stave in hand, when an itinerant preacher came into your place of worship and started overturning tables and scattering the goods and chattels to the four corners. How indignant you would be. After all, McMorran and Elphinstone again, all the movable furniture and ornaments of the church are in the legal ownership of the church wardens. That's your stuff he's chucking about. You might do more than request him to remove his hat. You might seek to eject him from the church and the churchyard. But you've got to catch him first. And he's a strong young fellow in his early 30s, a good deal younger than you, and determined with it. His blood is up, and you're worried that your blood pressure might be up. What will you do? How will you stop him? What's more, he's armed with a whip of cords. Sheep and cattle are running everywhere, and the floor is getting slippery, if you catch my drift. Time for a rethink. Can you negotiate your way out of this? The angry young man doesn't look in the mood to negotiate. No, the point, my dears, is this. You may have been duly elected. You may have McMorran and Elphinstone to back you up. You may love this place and want to preserve it the way your fathers and their fathers had it, the way you've always known it. You may even have most of the congregation on your side, and possibly the Archdeacon and the Diocesan Advisory Committee and all the forces of conservatism. But look again into the eyes of Jesus. He is not here to maintain things the way they have always been. He's not going to pick things up and put them back where he found them. He's not about to apologize for disturbing our neat and tidy building. He's not in the mood to negotiate. We have always known, in theory at least, that the church is the people, not the building. In lockdown, we have experienced this familiar truth in new ways. The church is neither the building nor necessarily the people in the building. The church is the body of Christ, God's people, in relationship with him, with each other, and with the world. For some time now, but accelerated in this last year, God has been building his church outside the walls. Now, as some of us prepare to move back into the buildings we cherish, let us be careful not to forget or to dismiss or even, heaven forfend, deliberately undo the work that Jesus has been doing. Jesus is the living word, the one by whom and for whom and in whom all things were created. He has come that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. He has come to usher in a new age. He has come to breathe new life into dry bones. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, says the Lord, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Indeed, I hope we do perceive it. What Christ is doing in our day to bring new life to his church, his body. I hope we will believe the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken for all our sakes, for the sake of the world, and for the sake of his church. Amen. Let it be so.
Some words from Francis Drake. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of the universe, we pray for our world, broken by persecution, warfare, and strife. We commend to you the Uyghur people in China, the people of Myanmar, the people of Yemen. You desire harmony within and between nations. You yearn for everyone to know security and safety. Lord of the world and Lord of the church,
bring healing and peace.
Lord of the poor and the rich, we pray for those who live and labour in countries where they are paid less than they need to survive. We commend to your tender love all who are exploited, children who are paid pennies, those who work in sweatshops. You desire justice for all people. You yearn for all people to be treated fairly and equitably. Lord of the world and Lord of the church,
bring healing and peace.
Lord of the sick and those who care for them, we pray for the world in this time of pandemic. We commend to you those who are suffering as a result of COVID-19, those who are working to the virus and its mutations, those who are frightened and anxious. You desire wholeness and health for all people. You yearn for an end to suffering. Lord of the world and Lord of the church,
bring healing and peace.
Lord of all in need, we bring to you the prayers of our hearts. We commend to you those about whom we are especially concerned. And this morning we pray for the following people who are unwell: Pam, Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, David, Jennifer, Mavis, Vera, Stephen, David, Steve, Adrian, Jean, Jane, Alwyn, Alan, Rosemary, Ryan, and Andrew, and others known to us. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently been bereaved. For Mary Walker, Mary Westmacott, Michael Lane, Frederick Fry, Arthur Wilson, Mary Mayers. You desire that your children care for one another. Lord of the world and Lord of the church, bring healing and peace. And the collect for the day. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, our Redeemer, show us compassion and love. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you and those whom you love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us again this morning. You'll see the notices at the bottom of the service sheet. Do please either feel welcome to come and join us with any of those events, and pray for the Lunch on the Go initiative, which is happening every day of the week in Tiverton. We hope to see you soon. Have a lovely day.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's so lovely to have you with us.
Thank you for
being part of this.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.